Hello, everyone, and welcome to Comfy Club, an excuse for two best friends to talk about video games. Today, we're going to talk about the little tycoon parkitect.
Yes. Oh, this is so cute. It's
very cute.
We haven't covered the other big roller coaster game, have we? We haven't covered Planet Coaster?
No. Okay. We've done Planet Zoo, and I think that's the most tycoon-y game.
Yeah. That's surprising. We grew up playing a lot of tycoon games. Like, if you said, what genre of game did you play your entire childhood, it would just be tycoon games. If it had tycoon at the end, we were playing it. Like, cruise ship and tycoon, Sims. Like, you know, everything was a tycoon game, you know? So the fact that we have not really covered a whole lot of them on the podcast is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Man. Well, boy, oh boy, I think I might know why. I don't like it.
Oh, no. That's crazy, because I basically only have positive things to say about this game. So you go first.
Oh, man. I really thought I would like this game. It's been on my wish list forever. It's so cute. I think I've just had a self-realization that I'm not good at tycoon games anymore, and I don't like it. It's really just, like the detail level of, like, the tycoon game, like, Planet Zoo, Planet Coaster. I don't think I've ever played actual Roller Coaster Tycoon, but also Parkitect. It's, like, building in it, you have to put every little piece down, and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at all of these things people have uploaded to the gallery. How did they do that? I can do that. And then I try, I'm like, how the heck did they do that? And yeah.
Yeah, that is, it's one of those things, like, I'm an Aries, this is a classic Aries thing. I have to be forced to experience personal growth by some sort of external force most of the time. And this is the perfect example of it. Because in Parkitect, and I think this is something that really sets it apart from a lot of other games, Planet Zoo and Planet Coaster kind of do the same thing with, like, the staff buildings, where, like, it decreases how people feel about the park if they can see them. But the extent at which they do that is so much lower than in Parkitect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Parkitect, hiding staff working spaces is a key mechanic of this game. It is wild. So much so that, because another, like, key part of it is stalking your vendors. So, like, this is, I think, what really kind of sets it apart is you have to actually hire people to stock the, like, shops and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so they have to have a way to get the stuff from the depot to that. So you have to build little depots with little... The nice thing is that there are little underground things. You don't have to, like, build some intricate tunnel system to do that. But, like, that's a key mechanic. And when I say people walking around your park carrying boxes, that is, like, not an option. I thought that I built some stuff that was, like, not too far away. I was like, oh, it won't be too bad. They'll just have to carry some stuff. I don't have enough money for a depot right now. The people in my park were pissed. They were so mad about it. And I was like, chill out, y'all. Like, it's just a guy carrying a box. We don't have to act like this about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and, like, if they could see him from, like, a line, like, there's, like, a view where you could see how, like, decorated or, like, how people feel about the different spaces of your park. That stuff is red. They are mad if they could see the freaking thing. And then they complain if I don't have a staff room. I'm like, how would you even know? It's going to be hidden anyways. How do you know if I have a staff room or not? I don't. And you're right. I should respect my workers more, but you can't even see it.
Right. Well, yeah. So if they can see, like, the operation side of things, it decreases their immersion.
Yeah.
Stat. And that's, like, basically happiness and immersion for the guest are directly correlated.
Yeah.
So, but it's like if you go to Disney and you see, like, Mickey Mouse take his head off.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, don't break my magical moment of this immersion. So
It's so crazy. But I really like it because I do like that it forces me to learn how to, like, build the little things. And it's, like, a practice makes perfect thing. I'm, like, starting to get the hang of it. And so I'm like, okay, this isn't quite as insanely difficult as I thought it was going to be. So,
see, yeah. And I just can't get the hang of the controls. And I felt like when I did the tutorial, that was all fine. Like, yeah. Tutorial is super simple. And then I was like, I just want to move this thing already put down. Is there a way to even do that?
No.
I don't think so. You have to demolish it and then redo it.
I'm yeah, like, that's my least favorite thing, especially because I was going through the scenario, which I'm going to talk about more in a minute because I love it. But on one of them, I was trying to build rides that were, like, thematic, you know, and, like, with the theme. And so there was one pre-made one, and one benefit of, like, when you destroy stuff, you do get a majority of your money back from what I've seen. Most of the stuff I've done was almost immediately afterwards, but I was really worried I was only going to get, like, half my money back when I had to basically immediately destroy it. But I got this roller coaster that had all this stuff on it, except something's wrong with it because it crashes somewhere in the middle. And there's so much stuff that I can't, like, get in there and see what why it did it. Just like, there's too much stuff. And having to delete everything is literally awful. I say that. Yeah. But I did discover a better way to do it, so it's probably better. There is, like, you can, like, click and drag and, like, it highlights stuff, you know? But you can also just, like, do, like, a block and, like, build a whole cube and it just, like, deletes everything in there. So, yes.
There's but also, it's still a pain in the butt. There's also, like, a filter where you can, like, hide decorations. Ooh. And so that way you only see.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, yeah, I didn't know playing the game either. I was watching a YouTube video this morning because I was like, am I just doing something wrong?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My worry, though, is that this one that I kept building, I think, like, I don't know if it's the track that's broken or if it, like, crashes into some piece of scenery. Because it happens, like it's a wooden roller coaster and there's all this stuff and, like, all around it. And it happens, like, inside in the middle of it. And I'm like, I can't even see the cart that crashed. It's just in there somewhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think I should play it a little more and be okay with using the blueprints and be perfectly fine with never building a ride myself.
I still have it. I've done 5 of the scenario maps and I haven't done a single, like, self-made ride. I've done the one in the very, like, beginning tutorial where they show you just, like, how to build the track and that's it. So, yeah.
Man, I've tried multiple times. And the track building thing, nope. I don't like the controls for that either.
It's like, it's very similar to how they did it in Planet Coaster and how they did it in Roller Coaster Tycoon, because I think it's kind of the best way to do it is you just have to choose what piece you're building next every single time. But there's no gauge while you're building of how good the ride is going to be.
Right. Yeah.
And this is why I don't like building them is in every roller coaster game I've ever played, you build a roller coaster, you're like, oh, this looks fun. Let me test it. And surprise, these people go through like 4,000 G-forces. And there's like, anyways, my skin got melted off when I came around this corner or whatever. And it's like,
so I guess it was fun.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I guess they can't have that ride. Good thing I spent 4 hours building it. So,
right.
Yeah. That's like my big fear. And that's why I'm like, I'm not going to do it. If you try not to do that, if you try not to burst their eyeballs when they're coming around a corner, then it's boring. And I'm like, I don't know what the happy medium is. I'm not a roller coaster engineer.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say, the blueprints are gorgeous in this game. There are some talented people out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I just have a hard time when I'm building, like, a track-type ride, like a coaster, like go-karts or something. If I place something down and I decide, oh, no, I don't like that, and I get rid of it, getting it back to like, okay, build that part that you just deleted again. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, it doesn't just start me there anymore unless I'm totally, like, missing something. I have to, like, I think you have to press edit again, and then you have to, like, click to get to where, like, you were, and
I don't know.
It's just, it's too hard for me.
Yeah. I will also say, this isn't, like, terrible, and I think it's kind of manageable, but it's kind of annoying, is something that makes that even more difficult is where stuff pops up on the screen. Where, yes. like, when you click into something and you're building something, and there are certain dialogues when it's the exact same dialogue. So, like, if you put your, like, I want to say, like, your park, like, your little park menu, like, if you move that somewhere on your screen, the next time it pops up, it will be in that same spot, I think. If the dialogue is slightly different, like, if you are editing a ride or placing a ride or whatever, that dialogue will pop up, like, right in the middle of the screen. In, like, the, like, right below the center. So, literally, if you play a computer game, you, this is, like, something, I don't know why I started noticing this. You're not actually interacting with, like, the top half of the screen most of the time. You interact with the bottom half of the screen. So, when the box pops up over the bottom center of the screen, that literally takes up most of your interactable space. So to see what you're doing, you have to move that dialogue. But then if you open up like another ride or whatever, that is technically a different dialogue, even though it's still a ride dialogue. You've got to move that also. There was, I built a freaking swan paddle boat ride, and the way it gets built is very weird. Like, you place, like, the thing, and it looks like it goes out this way, but you don't extend the dock forward. You extend the dock backwards. It didn't make any sense to me. But you know what? I couldn't figure that out because the dialogue was literally covering up where there was, like, the dock. And then next to it was, like, a little arrow saying, like, oh, you can extend it this way. That makes sense if you can see that. But right. all I could see is the little dock, and I'm trying to place the entrance and the exit. And the dialogue is covering, like, right where that is. But it's not touching the dock. So I'm like, oh, I must be seeing everything. I can't see where to place more. Like, it just was so annoying. And just, like, when you're trying to edit a ride, you got to freaking arrange your whole screen every single time you got to do that. It's,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, and when I first loaded in and, you know, the tutorial dialogues were up there and I saw that it had, like, that you could pin them. And I was like, oh, awesome. I love a pinnable dialogue menu. Because, like, when I play Banished, I've got all my things I need to see pinned just where I like them. There's nothing
worth pinning except for, like, your general park one. Yeah.
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 I didn't end up doing that at all. Like, I don't need to see any of this.
Yeah. Another dialogue thing that I don't know how I feel about yet. I kind of like it, and I kind of don't. I'm really on the fence about it. The when you are doing decor, you select your decor, and then when you move your mouse off of the dialogue, which is pretty big, it's almost like a quarter of the screen. When you move your mouse off of that, it minimizes the whole thing to like a little small bar. And then when you scroll, when you like hover back over the bar, it opens it back up. And that works flawlessly. I love it. Because then, like, you're not having that problem that we're just talking about where, like, oh, I'm trying to place this, but the thing is in the way, blah, blah, blah. What I don't like is because the bar is at the top, then it makes it, like, if I click on something and then I go off of it, I have to go all the way up to the top and then back down, you know, to, like, it's just, like, little stuff like that. Like, I would rather just, like, click onto it. I would rather have, like, a side docked, like, two or three column thing that I could just, it was constantly up, I could click and scroll on and see, like, what I'm doing next and not have to, like, go up and then down and then up and then down, you know? And it's really minor, but it's just enough that, like, every time I'm building something, I'm like, I wish I could just click on the next piece instead of having to go all the way to the top of the screen and then all the way back down to whatever I needed, you know?
Yeah.
So, stuff like that. But I think I think the side docked experience, or like a bottom docked thing like we see in a lot of games, is one of the better solutions. And I think they tried something different and it's working okay. And I applaud them for that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you have the knack for these kinds of games, it's a great one.
Yeah.
For sure. It's just a bit intimidating for a gamer like me.
Yeah, I think the scenery thing being such a heavy requirement makes it more difficult. Yeah.
Well, even if that wasn't, like, a big requirement for the guest happiness, I want it to look good.
Yeah.
So when I just keep doing the same things, I'm like, I don't know how to make this look good. And, like, and then I get, like, I don't want to play this game anymore.
Yeah.
And that's my same thing with Planet Zoo. But now I don't have all the cute animals in this game.
Yeah.
To kind of combat my poor skills.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I feel the same way. It's like sometimes the stuff is just so fiddly and like looking, having deconstructed a big roller coaster blueprint, you know, by dragging because I was an idiot. There are so many pieces. The amount of little half height like posts that were in it, I was like, you have to be joking me right now.
Like, I mean, I wonder how long that took.
Exactly. And I'm like, I just don't have time to build this one ride like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Like, I know in Planet Zoo, at least, like, when you do start building something really intricate like that, they have that whole where you can, like, copy a section of it and then, like, rotate it. And then, so, like, if you want to build, like, this big dome, you know, atrium, you just need to build one slice of pie of it and then copy.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if there's anything like that in this game. I don't know how, especially for like rides, that wouldn't work.
Yeah. And the other part too is like, it felt like there wasn't quite enough stuff that like, the requirement level of decorating things versus the amount of decorating things that they have doesn't line up in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm building a little building, let's say, like, build a little staff room, put my walls, put my roofs. The roofs don't have any, like, overhang. So, they, like, there's, like, the wall, and then the roof just, like, touches it. And so I'm like, okay, so we made decorating a requirement, but we didn't think about like how the roof connects to the wall. Like there's no way to like do that unless
I think you're supposed to use all the little detail guys and make your little roof trim.
Which I would agree with, except they don't do that on the campaign, the buildings
they give you.
Yeah. Like when the buildings load in, so I played the Wild West campaign stop a bunch because I was trying to get all the optional objectives and like do the whole thing, and I still didn't get it. I'm pissed about it. But like even those ones don't have that level of decoration. And then so I'm gonna use the staff room again because I kept having to build those. The staff room has a door and then little windows on it, but there isn't a building piece that lines up with those windows. So I'm like, okay, this is now breaking my immersion because am I supposed to like put, like, how am I supposed to build this thing where like you can still see the windows, or are we just going to pretend these windows don't exist and just cover them up with something else? Like, you know, so where the point of the decoration is immersion, now I as a gamer am not immersed because it doesn't makes sense, you know, like in Planet Zoo, all of the building pieces and like the little staff buildings that you can build, the windows and the doors line up. When I buy a wall piece with a window, guess what? Boom, it snaps on and there's the window into the staff room, into the vet, into like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so like not having that in this game, I just was like, then what is the point of forcing me to cover this stuff up if you're not even giving me the right stuff to cover it with, you know? Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
I feel you.
I do kind of like that it forces me to do it, because then I get more comfortable. What was I building? I built something that had, like, a depot and a couple of shops in it and a staff room, and I built a little building around it, and I was like, that actually looked pretty good. Oh, I'm happy with how that turned out.
I'm a little disappointed. I think it's a me problem, though. It's not the game's problem. It's definitely a me problem.
Yeah. And I think we probably said this when we talked about Planet Zoo, and if we ever do, like, Planet Coaster or any other games with this, like, really fiddly decorative stuff, I think our feedback will always be the same. And I think it is an us problem that neither of us are really, like, into that very tedious, like, building little things. Like, it looks great. I would love to build something and then look at it and be like, wow, I did that. That's incredible. We just don't have the patience, you know? Like, that's not what the game is about for us, you know? So I think our feedback for that will always be the same. And I don't think that's really, like, against the game, you know? Because I think they do a pretty good job. One thing I do really like is that a majority of the stuff, and I could have sworn in the tutorial, there was a thing where it was like, you can, like, not make it snap.
I couldn't figure it out after
exactly the and I'm either. Looking they have a little convenient thing up in the top right that has like the controls and I'm looking at it, I'm like, where's the part where it says like free move? Where did that go? Like what happened here? Because then
go back to the tutorial
and I'm like, okay, you have the other controls here, why don't you have that one that sounded very convenient? So, like, that was weird to me, because I think if I had that, it would be easier, because, like, with the staff room and the windows, I wanted to get a little, like, side of the arch piece and then just slide that over to cover up the space. I was willing to build a whole little window wall section. I was willing to do it, but then I couldn't because it just snaps to the grid, and I was like, okay, I guess. That's fine.
Or even just, like, putting benches down. It's like, well, I guess it's going there, and this lamppost is going here, because that's where it's snapping to, and I don't remember how to make it not snap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really cute.
It is. It is very cute. So, well.
But you played a good chunk of the campaign?
I played, like, 4 or 5 of them. Did you play any of the campaign?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play the level called Coral Island?
No, but I saw it.
Yeah, it's not even remotely close. It's this woman who bought a caldera island, and she's like, make it a theme park. And I'm like, okay, cool, sure. But normally in a campaign, for a game like this, I will play, it depends on the length of the campaign, I'll play a couple levels. And then I'll be like, okay, I'm done. I just want to go free build a park. And I was kind of feeling that way a little bit. But then I just kept playing the campaign missions. And I was like, I actually really like this. And also, the little overworld map with the campaign stuff, so freaking cute. Like, every time you beat one and it does a little shiny path to, like, the next one. And then you go to the next one. I'm like, so cute. I'm going to replay the stupid Western one again because I'm determined to get the optional objective. It's my only one that's not gold right now. And I'm like, I need it, you know, but it is really nice because, like, it kind of forced me to figure out how to balance, like, building new rides and pricing and campaigns. So, like, something that I've now fully realized is, like, if you don't build new rides, and this is, like, sometimes where, like, real world stuff doesn't really align with something in a game. If you're not building new rides, people lose interest. So, like, my park will be doing great, even with no campaigns, because I just built a new ride, and there'll be, like, 450 people in there. And I'm like, all right, cool, we're just gonna, like, stay at this level. But if you don't build a new ride, suddenly there's only 300 people coming to your park. And I'm like, well, now I don't have enough money to build a new ride. And yeah, it's like, it's a really vicious cycle. And the money management part of it is really hard for me because, like, it's a little bit more demanding, I think, money-wise than some of the other tycoon games that we've played. But I also think it's more forgiving in some ways, you know? Like, I just feel like I'm always hovering around zero, and it's really annoying.
So. I don't feel like I have that problem, but I'm also probably not building as much stuff as you, yeah. So.
But it's really fun. I actually really like it. I honestly am probably going to play some more today because I was just having a blast with it, so.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I can't deal with being bad at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just really, I think roller coaster games are very difficult if you don't like to be really fiddly with the stuff, mm-hmm. because building the roller coaster and decorating a roller coaster being main features of the game, very cool, unless both of those things are annoying for you to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a fault of this game. I think what you said, like, it's an us problem, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to try to build one today. And I think Coral Island scenario one wanted me to build one because one of the unlocks for one of the objectives was steel roller coaster. I was like, oh, they want you to unlock this and then build a steel roller coaster here. And I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that, actually. So it's just going to be a lot of thrill rides and some pre-built stuff. So,
yeah. Actually, yeah. No thanks, bestie.
Yeah.
I think if you grew up playing Roller Coaster Tycoon, you would love this game.
Yeah.
And it's a great addition to the Roller Coaster Tycoon empire. But
yeah.
I didn't play that growing up. So
yeah.
I played Zoo Tycoon, which when we talked about Planet Zoo, you know, it's a lot less detailed and it's more just like place the exhibit you want and decorate it a little bit and then you're done.
Well, and even with Planet Zoo, you still have similar requirements for, like, decoration of your attractions, but that criteria is so much more flexible, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you're not trying to build a structure around a moving object, basically, you know?
Right.
That could kill people. Like, that's not what you're doing. You're putting trees and bushes on a piece of land, and that's it, you know? So, like, the general objective is kind of the same, but the way you get there is different for those games, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. And one of my favorite parts of Tycoon games is more of, like, the management side of it, like, the finances and the staff management and all of that, like, all the logistics of it. And those are very small in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Like, I haven't run across, maybe you do later, like, unhappy employees or, like, really needed to change any of the default prices of things. And
I'm constantly changing the prices of stuff because I was broke all the time. And I was like, people will pay more for this ride. So,
yeah.
But, like, that is kind of where that, like, flux of when a ride is, like, new comes into play, because there were rides that were like some of my really big expensive rides, my rides that I was making a lot of money from that literally had like a full queue at freaking $9 per person, right?
Wow.
I'm like, okay, this is insane. But then suddenly the ride isn't new anymore and people aren't riding it, and so I've just been like not making as much money, and so now I'm like, well, now I can't afford a new ride to, like, catch back up, you know? So this is really a me problem for sure, because this is just how I live my life naturally, where it's like, how am I always at $0? Well, it's because you're not, you know, like,
planning.
Saving and putting money where it needs to go all the time. You're just like, everything's great right now, and it'll be this way forever. So, it's definitely more difficult, but I think it's way, way more forgiving than Planet Zoo or Planet Coaster. Because those games, when you start going downhill, it's like, it's bad. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because the loans you take in this game, there's just a monthly fee for the loan. You're not actually making payments on the loan. You have to manually pay back the loan, which makes it easier to, like, stay afloat, basically, because you're not, like, paying back huge chunks of it. It's not like, okay, $2,000 every month, but it is, like, a couple hundred. And when you're only making a couple more hundred, you're, like, struggling to stay afloat and, like, paying that back, trying to run campaigns. So,
yeah.
See, I'm not good at money management.
I think I play these games, well, every game. We always say this, at a much slower pace than you do, because I, like, never take out loans.
No.
Yeah.
Doing this Wild West one, because I've replayed it probably, like, 6 or 7 times to try to get these objectives. The first thing I did, the way that I found success, was to, as soon as the game starts, pause it, take out the two biggest loans, buy a bunch of crap, start some big campaigns, and then, like, try to get some money to, like, buy a couple more rides.
Yeah.
So, like, that's how I was going to do that. Or when it kind of, like, starts to dip a little bit, taking out a loan in order to buy a new ride and start a campaign to get more people to come to the park.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because that one, the bonus objective is to do it within 2 years, right?
Girl, I was so freaking close. I got the 500 people in the park literally the first week of January.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, and then once you do it, I think you have to hold it. Yeah, for 3 weeks. So, like, even if you got it mid-December, it's too late.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it, like, retroactively does it. So, like, I think you can achieve that goal in December, and then you have to hold it. But, like,
you don't have to hold it through December.
That's how I would interpret it. Because that also seems kind of crappy, because then why wouldn't you say November?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well. But, yeah, it's really hard, and I'm so pissed. So that's, like, the one thing that I'm going to go back and do again and again and again until I get it. Because, like, just so close. And everything else, I've gotten all of the objectives. The Coral Island one has a similar objective to get the goals within the 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. I did it in January of the second year. Like, blew through that thing. Nice. It was great. Yeah. And for those ones, those ones were a little bit easier because it was just the total ticket sales and not people actively in your park.
Mm.
And that's the hard part, is because trying to get all of those people there at the same time
is
really difficult.
Gotcha. So. Yeah, I just don't know. It's $30 normally.
Mm-hmm. We bought it 50% off.
I think so. Yeah, during the winter sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to play the free play mode and get more into the campaign before I make an assessment on, like, the full price.
Mm-hmm.
If you like the fiddly kind of game style stuff, then, yeah, I think this is really, like, a good buy. I think it's pretty comparable to Planet Coaster. How much is Planet Coaster?
I think more than that. I can pull it up real quick.
I don't think that this game is as good as Planet Coaster. It feels like Planet Coaster Junior to me. Like,
yeah.
There are less building options. The graphics are less detailed. It kind of feels like on a scale from, like, Roller Coaster Tycoon graphics to Planet Coaster graphics, we're at, like, a 65% of the way to Planet Coaster.
Yeah. You know? Planet Coaster is normally $45. It is on sale right now for $13.50.
I'll pick it up, y'all. Go get Planet Coaster. Oh, my God. For $13.50? That's crazy. Dang. Yeah. Have you? And you said you haven't played Planet Coaster?
I have not.
Comparing this game to Planet Coaster, I think, is a little difficult. I think Planet Coaster had, like, a little bit more oomph behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think this game does a pretty good job of, like, kind of hitting the same points without really, like, I don't know. I don't know, like, a good way to describe it. Like, I think it's good enough. And if Planet Coaster is, like, a little too much, you know, then I think this game is probably a good option.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting.
I think if Planet Coaster is, you know, it's the same people who make Planet Zoo. And if it plays like that, I don't think I'll like it. Because I don't mind it as much in Planet Zoo because I still have the whole animals aspect. Yeah. And I just don't care that much about building a theme park, you know?
Yeah. I think the benefit of the coaster games is that there are so many structures that are, like, it's just a block. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's why the thrill rides are so easy in this game. And with Planet Coaster, like, it's just a big square. You just put it down and you build your queue, you know? So I think, like, that's kind of the benefit is it's not only building complicated roller coasters. You have, like, some stuff in between, right? You know?
True. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really a saving grace of these kinds of games. Because if it was just building roller coasters, then yikes.
Yeah. Well, do we want to do our ratings?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with graphics.
I would give this, like, it's going to sound weird, like a 3.5 out of 5. Mm-hmm. Because it looks really cute, but I don't know if you've really looked at the people. But
the little globe head people.
Yeah.
I like them.
Do they just not have any hair? Like, I don't know. It just, like, sometimes when there's, like, a discrepancy between, like, what has detail and what doesn't, mm-hmm. you know? I'm like, what do you mean there's, like, a little cactus with ridges, but these people don't have hair? Like, I don't know. It was weird for me. So, I don't know. Maybe a 4. Maybe a 4. Because, like, the rest of the graphics are pretty good.
Yeah. Actually. I was going to give it a 4. I think I like the little cutesy graphic style that they went with. I think I think that makes it more fun.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cute decorations you can place, too. All the cute little mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Love those guys.
Oh.
All right. Let's do... Well, we usually do a story, but I don't feel like that's really applicable to this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's little campaigns, and I think, like, the campaigns, each one has its own, like, little kind of, like, blurb story about, like, the location. You know, like I said, like, the Coral Island is this lady bought a island caldera and was like, let's make it a theme park.
Yeah.
There was one that is, like, on a old airfield.
I liked that one, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, it kind of gives you, like, a little bit of, like, a blurb about the location, but not, like, not a story. It's not a story. You know? Yeah.
You're making a theme park. There's no story.
Yeah. And I will say, too, this isn't, like, all of these games don't have a story because Planet Zoo does have, like, a campaign story. Like,
yes.
You build a zoo, and then you go rehabilitate another zoo, and, like, as you go through the campaign, there's, like, this story that you're becoming a better, like, zoo builder, and, like, mm-hmm. it's not, like, I feel like I'm putting way more, like,
no, I really into like it than Planet it sounds zoo like, but, campaign. Like,
yeah, but, like, it gives you, like, a reason why you're going from zoo to zoo.
Yeah.
You know, it's because you are becoming a good zoo builder, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Okay. Controls.
I'm going to give it a 4. Because I feel like they're pretty good, but I don't know. I almost wish, like, there were more. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if it's, like, there's too much, too little. Like, I don't know. But, like, it feels like it's, like, missing something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it a 2.
Dang. Dang, girl.
I know. I think basic controls, like movement, rotating, good. Mm-hmm. I can do that. And then beyond that, I'm sure if, like, a dev were to watch me play their game, they'd be like, why are you doing it like that? Just press this thing and it'll do what you want. I'm like, la da da da, what button do I press?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely like,
which again comes back to like the little controls thing. Cause if both of us are like, there was a way to free move objects and now it doesn't tell us how to do that anymore. Like, then what is the point of having a little controls thing up there? You know? Yeah.
I can do it. Too dumb for this game, I guess. Replayability.
I'm going to give this a 4. Because I think the continued playability is there to do, like, different parks in, like, the free play sandbox mode and stuff like that. And then I obviously am going to go back and replay any campaign missions where I don't get all of the optional objectives. So yeah. For me, and having already replayed the same objective like half a dozen times, the replayability is there. Mm-hmm. So
I'll give it a 3. I definitely agree with everything you've said. And it's just, I don't think I personally will ever crave playing mm-hmm. this game. If I do get in the mood to play a tycoon game, I will probably go back to this one.
Yeah.
So if that's your jam, I think it's definitely a good game.
Yeah. I will say, too, do we have any more ratings?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I've completely lost what I was going to say.
Oh no.
Oh, this is what it was. This game runs so well on my computer.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, if I had to choose between this game and Planet Coaster, which one would I choose? And the more I thought about it, I was like,
the one your computer can play?
literally. And I had zero problems with it. Like, there was never any, like, lag or anything like that. Like, even when I had 500 people in my park and all of these rides going, like, never had any problems with it. With, like, menus popping up, didn't have any problems with that. So, like, that in itself was amazing. Because normally that is the bottleneck on Planet Zoo and Planet Coaster for me. Is once I get to a certain amount of people, then I have to, like, mm-hmm. I have to put a limit on how many people are allowed in my park. And normally, I think that limit's pretty high. I want to say it's, like, 2,000 people, you know, which is a lot. But, like, even before that, like, I feel like I am experiencing some technical issues with it, you know. And I didn't get that at all in this game. And that was really surprising to me. So, mm-hmm.
Well, I think that graphics style really helps because mm-hmm. the Planet games, they're a little bit more like realistic mm-hmm. graphic wise, just like the people aren't very. So,
And then they're like cartoony, but they're still very detailed. They all have hair, facial features, different clothes, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
I think it's just a much heavier game than this one is. So,
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't like it.
That's okay. I liked it. So I'm going to go play it some more, honestly.
Maybe I'll get good at it one day. But there's so many games to play.
Yeah. I'll see if I can come up with any hot tips for you that might make it more enjoyable. But it's okay to not like games. That's another thing, too. I don't know if we talk about this. It's okay to not like games, even if it's a good game. Like, it's okay to be like, yeah, it was good, but I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
For sure.
Yeah.
There's popular games we don't like.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head.
I can't think of one right now, but I know there are.
Wait, I love every game.
Well, if you do come up with any tips for me, put them in our Discord.
Yeah.
And I will try.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, do you have any other thoughts about Park Attack?
No, I don't.
Alrighty, well, I'm gonna go play some more of it and get this episode out. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you on our next episode. Bye.
Bye.